handle the heat. Yeah. You can and you can handle the heat. Yeah. Out of system, you can handle the heat.
Check it. It be me with me homeboys, Micah and Joe. How we doing, boys?
What's up, what's
up? Dude, how crazy, how crazy of a world do we live in? This week, me and Micah have been on the phone nonstop this entire week. We live in, like, the craziest world. Like, you can't, this week was, I think, even more than people expected in general with the election and everything. I know we're not political, but I had to say from the beginning, this is absolutely insane this week.
How come? I mean,
what's crazy is, sorry, Gage, but what's crazy is that the pandemic and like our coronavirus world is just so normal. Like, it's so normalized. Like, I can't remember a time when, like, I see people like at a huge festival and I'm like, that is not okay. How are you, like, how did we do that at one time? Like, you could go where you wanted on a weekend.
Like, you see, like, on you see on TikTok, people are like partying and stuff, and you're like, dude, wait. And you have to, like, think, you're like,
you have to, like, reconceptualize, like, what life is about, and be like, exactly. Wait, what? You could get on a plane before and literally go anywhere in the world. Like, that concept to me is just so, like, wow, we had a lot of freedom.
Do you guys ever watch movies and, like, in the back of your mind, you, like, see them? They're like, why? No. Yeah. I mean, yeah. But, like, do you ever, like, watch them and, like, wait, why aren't they wearing a mask? Like, at first, like, wait, what? Why aren't they? Yeah. Like,
Or, like, on a show when they're, like, high-fiving, and I'm like, oh, wait, you can do that?
Speaking of masks, though, I worked out for the first time, and Hawaii requires you to wear a mask when you work out or play or anything like that. Dude, brutal. It is the worst because you anytime, like, you're working out, and anytime you breathe, like, I kind of have this dry fit mask where it's not as, like, stiff. And I think when I play, I got to find, like, a stiff mask or something.
Yeah, because you breathe in a dry fit, it goes in your mouth.
Yeah, and I couldn't. So I had to. You guys ever seen the Jack Nicholson in the original Batman? He has this, like, big ass smile, and I had to spread my mouth out so I'm not sucking in one small hole. I had to kind of spread it out and go, kind of like that. And still, then it, like, sucks in my nose and sucks in my mouth. And I was like, it was so bad. It was so bad. To make it even crazier. We're eventually. And I was telling Micah this. One of these days, we're gonna do this. We're gonna do the podcast nude. No one will even know. We'll not even get
it
announced. Nude.
Gage opens it up with, I want to do the podcast naked. And my first thought is, have you heard Joe Rogan's podcast with, I don't know what his name is, Choi? The last name's Choi, the Facebook artist that's now become super rich.
Yeah.
Did you hear how his podcast, what he was doing?
No.
Dude, he said that he was doing the most ridiculous things. He would tie himself up to, like, a chair, and he would mask himself, or he would duct tape his mouth closed and have 2 hours of a podcast of him trying to, like, talk. And he did one with a water bottle completely in his mouth, and he would talk for, like, hours. And he's
and
like,
people are listening to this?
No, he's like, that's when I stopped podcasting. Like, my friends are like, you can't put this out there. And he said he'd like talk in, like, alien voices to himself, and, like,
who listened to this
for hours? He said he would just record them. He'd just go to the studio and like just record himself talking to himself for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours in, like, an alien voice. And that's when he just, like, was like, yeah, I need to stop, like, putting these out.
Imagine walking in on that. Something like delivering coffee or something just walks in on him, just nude, strapped to a chair with a water bottle.
Imagine,
in his,
like,
mouth.
If you're like that's like something you see in a movie with, like, a 17-year-old kid. A mom walks in and is like asking if he wants, like, a PB&J sandwich, and walks in and he's like duct taped to a chair with, like, a water bottle in his mouth.
This is exactly what it looks like.
I'm trying to do my podcast.
So today during. Just to back to the volleyball kind of concept of our show, which we rarely I think we talk about more shenanigans than we actually talk about volleyball, but talk about more kind of volleyball aspects of our lives. We're kind of getting into one thing. I don't think people know how, like, one, how do you get in the national team gym? Two, like, how it works. And three, one thing that I kind of realize is, like, or one thing I want to kind of talk about is you're kind of where you started kind of in the volleyball, like, world, like, not like socially, but, like, basically how you came to stardom. Micah, you're obviously more start on the Joe and I, you know, like, in that aspect. And we'll get into that in a little. I just want to kind of explain. Well, first of all, we're kind of in the college phase. Last podcast, we talked about the high school and whatnot and everything that came about of it. Mike, I know for your college, you made it super easy on yourself. You're like, in UCLA was always just kind of like, I mean, you had offers all over, but UCLA was a pretty easy choice, yeah? And then I have a few questions about UCLA that I really want to get to. Yeah. And first, I know, Joe, you didn't even want to go to Hawaii. Remember, you kind of talked about that, but then eventually you were like, okay, this is kind of the right place for me. But Mike, I have a few questions about UCLA here.
Fire away.
So you go to UCLA.
Yeah.
Right? You have a successful first year, you get first team All-American, right? Second year, I think the same thing. You're in the national second year, you're in the national championship, or third year in the national championship?
Third year. Second year, we were trash. Well, we were injured a lot, so.
And that's what I kind of want to talk about. How come you guys were
dude?
But is it because the UCLA has like that? You and Stanford have like the top medical programs in the nation, yet you always get injured. I mean, how good is your medical staff? Be honest. How good is the UCLA medical staff?
I felt like they were really good. I don't know why we were always injured. My freshman year, we made it to the Final Four. We lost 17-15 in the fifth to Ohio State, who then went on to win. And we returned all of our starters. So we were like, damn, we're going to be a freaking good team next year. And the next year, we didn't have our starting lineup once. Me and Dylan both had herniated discs. JT had like a concussion and was in and out. Dylan had a concussion as well as the herniated disc. Mitch had like a bad sprained ankle, tore an ab. Jake broke his toe. Davis Gillette was not on the team any longer. Kofi had thumb surgery. And Oliver Martin, I think, might have been healthy the whole year, but I'm not positive. So basically everybody was in and out. And then junior year, we were healthy the whole year, and we made it to the national championship. And then my senior year, we plagued with injuries again, where we, like I've said, I think before on the show, we had 24 guys, and we couldn't play 6-on-6.
Did you guys have a consistent?
I had to play outside, and Kofi played opposite. We were all over the place.
Did you guys have a consistent weight coach or no?
Yeah, consistent weight coach all 4 years.
How was that guy not, like, I mean, no offense, but, like.
No. I have no idea. Like, a lot of these things, like, you're just like, what? Like, a concussion, you're not going to – that's not really in your weights. That's not in your
– right.
That's just something that just happens. We had two or three of them. The way Jake broke his toe is he dropped the weight on his foot. So it's like you're out for 3 weeks or maybe even longer, important games. He was kind of our stick on the left. Like, these kinds of things were just happening. I don't know how my back and Dylan's back both got injured. I know senior year a bunch of people had bad backs. I don't know what specifically it was about the weight training. I love our weight coach. I like him a lot. And I really like our medical trainer, Mark Bustinich and Mike Lynn, those two guys. I think they're awesome. I have no idea.
That's because I always thought, I was like, you see all these guys, I mean, you guys had like, what, 11 guys hurt at one time or somewhere around there?
Sure.
Like, that's nuts.
For sure. Dude, we had a game that I was the only outside that could play.
Who's that outside then?
Dylan had left the game because he had to throw up. And it was me and Dylan, and we had the only other guys that were there that could play were redshirting. I think two people were redshirting, and they're like, we don't want to blow the redshirt here. So we had put in a DS for Dylan.
Nice.
And he just passed, and then Dylan came back and like tried to finish the game out.
Now, as Rad on my team, Radal Parapunov, from my right side on my team, from Bulgaria, and he has all these crazy stories about Bulgarian athletic trainer and whatnot. So Joe, he's like, when he came here, he didn't even know what pre-wrap is. So for those who don't know pre-wrap, it's the wrap you put on before you put on the sticky stuff. Like, he would come here and he's like, what is this? And he's like, this is pre-wrap. So your hair doesn't get ripped. And he didn't even know what it was. He's like,
you guys are gnarly.
And like, yeah, like he was telling me they had like their, well, he can tell you gnarlier stories than I can, and because he experienced it. But like, yeah, their trainers would be like having like cigarettes and whatnot, like smoking, or they're coming like very rarely. But Joe, as an athletic training standpoint from pro, is it any different? Because this is a personal question for me, right? Let's say, because I know for me, like, I have problems with my quad. If I say, hey, I do these different exercises so I don't irritate my quad or I don't irritate that, would that be allowed at all? Or are they like, no, get on the thing?
Well, dude, first of all, we had the exact same issue last year with injuries. And then we started off this year. Our club, I went to the same club as last year. We started off the exact same way. Ton of injuries. And for me, the first thing I think is like weight program. It has to be a weight program. Because if it's the same guys having the same type of injuries, it has to be the weight program. So, Mike, I don't know the fortune you guys had at UCLA.
I don't know what it was.
But I always think it goes back to the weight program. And to answer your question, Gage, as a professional athlete, I firmly believe it's your job to know what you need to make sure you're playing at the highest level. And if at the professional level, I don't think coaches can sit there and baby you and tell you, like, this is what you have to do. Like, by that time, I feel like all athletes should know what they need in order to be able to play at their best and to feel the best and to be jumping their highest and to feel strongest. That's, like, the most important thing for me. And last year, half the year, I was going through, and I felt like I was getting weaker. I felt like I was losing muscle. I came from a program at Hawaii where I was lifting 5 to 6 times a week, hour and a half each day. And it was like heavy lifting. I was putting on a lot of muscle. I felt strong. Even though your body breaks down more, over time you start feeling stronger. And then I got here and I went like 5-6 months straight of like, we start off really light lifting, not a whole lot of heavy stuff, like a lot of movement stuff. And then it's even more training than college. And so you're just pounding. And eventually it catches up. And for me, I had injuries, which I never have had in my life last year. And it was really frustrating. So I think for you, like for any professional athlete or people wanting to go play professional sports, they need to understand, like, you're being paid to win, first of all. You're not being paid to show up and do every single lifting exercise that they ask you to do. Like, if you have issues with it, you go speak to your coach, you go speak to your weight coach. You need to make sure you know what your body's the best, how to get yourself in the best shape. You know how to do that for yourself. And it's not, like I said, your job is to win at the end of the day, and it's nothing else. That's what they're paying you to do. They want you to win championships.
How often do you guys practice a day?
Well, we finally have a new gym. I don't know if I've said that on the podcast. We finally have a new gym. We're getting it in 2 weeks. So without having like a true gym, we've been moving around like local schools and stuff. So our schedule has been off, but we usually lift and do a morning like individual like technical training, so like setting into targets or like reception, some serving stuff, and then we'll do full 2-hour team practice in the afternoon. And so it's anywhere between 4 to 6 hours, depending on the time of the week and when we're playing, like the day of the match. Obviously, when you're close to the match, you start kind of tapering off. But for us, like that was the other thing, is it's so important for coaches to understand how to taper and how to manage that stuff. And I think coaches who have a lot of injuries usually are pretty inexperienced in that at times. Sometimes that's not the case, but like I don't know what your guys' coaches like at UCLA, but I know like whenever I see a team that starts getting injured a lot, I think the inexperience and learning how to manage that stuff is plays into it. But I mean, at UCLA, you guys have some of those experienced coaches. So you said, it sounded more UCLA was misfortune because it's like concussions and guys dropping stuff on their toes and stuff. And so I don't think that was as much like inexperience on the coaching staff. But I think there's some times that can be the case.
So, Micah, you, as you mentioned, you have problems with your back. Would you say, I mean, are they pretty accommodating over there in France about like you kind of doing your own thing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think it varies from person to person. Like just depends on what kind of weight coach you get. Some guys are just like so stubborn and so obnoxious about it that you just do what they want. The guy I have right now is super chill guy. So it's like, the only thing I don't do is I don't heavy squat. So like if I'm going to squat, I just probably put like 2 plates, not a lot more than that. And that's pretty much the only difference that I have. Oh, and I don't deadlift. Deadlift. So if I'm going to do something for like pulling from the ground, I do cleans, but
Mike, a question for you. What is the most important exercise, do you think, to increase your vertical? or to help your jump the most?
Oh, wow. To increase your vertical?
Yeah. We've gotten this question a lot, actually, I think.
I think mine would be jumping.
Just jumping.
Yeah. So
I worked with somebody in between my second and third season of Hawaii, and he was huge. I mean, he helped me so much. He got me in really good shape, and he was huge.
Who's that?
On his name's Coach Kyle. Big shout out. I don't know if he's listening. I'm going to tell him to listen now.
Coach Kyle? Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
He's worked with some NFL running backs. He's worked with some, like, USA track. He's just
Najee Harris. He's awesome. He worked with Najee Harris, Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's from Antioch.
Bro, he works at the school my mom's the athletic director at.
Okay.
And he lives in San Francisco Bay Area. But he was huge on, because I told him, like, I want to make a little bit improvement in my jumping and my explosiveness. And at that point in your career, like, it's like small incremental improvements you're making. You're not making like giant improvements at that point. And so he was so big, and I had never heard this before. I want to ask you if you heard this before. He's big on assistance, resistance, and then just straight jumping without assistance or resistance. So three types of training. So every day, no matter what I do like jumping. Say I jump with like weight on, and then I do just jumping normally with nothing, and it was different variations of jumping and how I was jumping, and then I would do stuff off like trampolines or like stuff to help my jump. And dude, like within a couple of weeks, I started feeling improvements. It was crazy, like the style of training that he was doing with me, I'd never heard before. And that's what I was going to ask you, is if you had heard anything like that.
I would say jumping for sure. I think people want to do a lot of weight stuff, but when people ask me, my number one thing is like jump a lot and jump hard.
Yeah.
Like, hard jumper.
I know it's just like super like caveman style, but it's just jump a lot and jump hard. And if you're not going to jump hard, like don't really do it. For me, it's like just fully do like five, like max, like, in your head, you're like, I'm going to fly. I'd rather do that than do like 10 box jumps. Cause I don't know. I think I get more out of pushing myself to like those five really hard ones.
So for Joe, let me clarify really quick. Assistance jumping, again, assistance, resistance, and then normal jumping. Assistance is like with a trampoline or like a band, something to help you spring up, right?
Yeah.
Resistance is with weight, body weight, holding a dumbbell, whatever. That's resistance. And then just normal jumping, anything jumping, like you said, box jumps, Micah. So for those listening out there, I mean, I'll kind of go into libero stuff, but before I kind of get into libero stuff, what do you guys see? You guys said, and I think I can name one of them, is definitely see people like bulking up when they're trying to do volleyball, like trying to like lift heavy weight, which, I mean, depends who you are. It can be important, you know, it depends what you're
depends
all
about.
Depends
on the position, too. Depends on
yeah,
the
it depends. 100%. It just depends.
So if you're an outside hitter, you want to be kind of more springy. One thing that Colton was telling me last year, I remember, and he was kind of, before our season got canceled, he started working on was, he's like, yeah, I got too bulky. And as a smaller outside, you want a quicker arm swing, right? But the more muscle you have, typically, the slower your arm swing is going to be, you can't go as quick. So one thing, keep in mind, as an outside, I know, and even Colton, the man with a body looking like that, you know, even he admitted, he's like, you know what,
Thor
this is
himself.
Not the... Exactly. This is not an ideal body for myself. So keep that in mind if you're listening out there and wondering, okay, what should my physique look like? And like you said, it can change. Like if you're just absolutely ripped and still have an insane arm swing, I mean, I guess go for it.
Like yourself.
Of course. Sometimes when I lift, this is my
That's
favorite
God-given,
thing to do.
That's God given. That's God
given. This morning. Anytime I.
I'm cutting you off. Keep going.
No, no worries. No. But anytime I finish weightlifting, either like I text my girlfriend or I text whenever, I'm like, I just say something just so insane. Like, for example, I just texted her. I was like, I can't keep pretending anymore. She's like, what do you mean? She's like, I can't keep pretending that I'm mortal and this my body wasn't crafted by the gods. I'm so incredibly yoked. It's every single time I lift. So now that I started again, I just keep doing it every single time. So
no, I think that's important too. My dad even talks about that. Like, just like working hard in the weight room, whether you get big or not, like it just helps your confidence. You just feel like you've outworked people.
Aesthetics like, too.
You show up on the – yeah, even that. Like, you're feeling better about even your overall quality of life.
Which is healthy, too.
I think I think it has more implications than just the, like, things that people just talk about, like, oh, wow, my arm swing is 0.5 seconds faster or something. I'm like, okay, that, cool. Like, that's
whatever.
I don't think that matters.
I've played with outsides that say that type. I'm like, dude, I could care less. If you're scoring, I could care less.
Yeah, dude, I've seen some slow arm swings that get the job done.
For libero training really quick, Joe, you're the one who preaches the most to me and just gets on my ass the most. You're like, Gabe, you should not be out here trying to lift like heavy weights. And well, sometimes you're like, you gotta pump the arm sometimes, you know. Pumping with my bros. But definitely you always talk to me about more agility stuff, more like side lateral movement. You know, when our season got canceled, we went straight to the beach, worked out every morning, you know, did more agility stuff, did core stuff. And then as a libero, make sure you're doing reaction, because I get this question a lot. Should I do for libero? Biggest thing, obviously, volleyball-wise, just get as many reps as possible. Touch the ball as much as possible. And in the weight room, more agility stuff. I'm not in there lifting heavy weights. You can ask any of my teammates. I'm definitely not out there lifting with the bigs out there. But now that we kind of got into training volleyball, again, you can ask us any more questions. Just hit us up on our DMs or anything. But I want to kind of segment this into the national team gym. We're going to kind of finish the final chapter here of how basically our career came about, you know. We talked about UCLA on past podcasts. We talked about Hawaii on past podcasts, how we got here. But I want to kind of talk about how does one get into the USA gym? And I think all three of us have very different stories of how we got into the USA gym. I want to kind of start with Joe here. Micah, then you go, and then I'll finish it off there.
Yeah, so one day I parked in the parking lot and I opened the door and I just walked in and I was
I have my time to shine.
The door was open. The door was open.
My time to shine. Like Danny. Yeah,
I think for me it's always been the same sort of story. I've mentioned this on previous shows and previous podcasts that I've always been pushed by a lot of coaches to go play libero, whether it's in college, whether it's with national team. Even when I was trying to go or deciding where to go for pro, they're like, oh, maybe you should try to go play libero. But for me, libero just isn't that fun for me. Like, for me, I'm speaking for me. I'm not speaking for you, bro. Okay? For me, like, I only want to do something like when I enjoy it. If I'm not enjoying volleyball, especially playing overseas where I'm away from family and friends 10 months of the year, like I'm not going to continue playing volleyball if I just hate it. I'm sure you two feel the exact same way, and that's the advice I give anybody if they want to go play at the next level. It's like you really have to enjoy it, whether you're going to go play in college or you're playing professionally or whatever. For me, setter is the most – I've played it my whole life. I trained and – going into the national team, I mean, of course, like the first time I went was as a libero to come. Coach John Sproul had got a hold of me and let me know he just wanted to come see how I would do in the gym as libero. Came, trained. I mean, literally, I never.
What year was this?
This was in between my junior and senior year, so after my third year at Hawaii. And for me, it was tough because I'm like, yeah, I want to be in the national team gym, but I want to play, like, the position I've trained for like 15, 16 years at that point, it was setter. So, for me, it's so hard to say yes, and, like, I feel like I'm selling myself short. And even my dad, you've heard previous podcasts, he's so tough on my brother and I from a volleyball standpoint and just as a father. Like, he demanded, but it's good. Like, for my brother and I, we needed that because we were just kind of, like, wild, and we needed discipline going up. But he's always big on me. He's like, you never, like, sell yourself short. Like, know your worth. Like he's the one that pushes me. Like, I would have ended up at UCLA as a libero if he was not my father and he was not directing me kind of where to go. And I thank him to this day for being the one who's always pushing me. Like, bro, you need to go do what you love doing and what you've trained your entire life for doing. Don't, like, just because somebody says something doesn't mean that you have to go do how they envision your career going. It's like your career, it's your life. You put in all the work, like you can't sell yourself short. So for me, I went for a little bit, did some training, and went back home that summer. I wasn't there for so long. Then after my senior year, Rob Nielsen, who was the assistant coach at the time, he hit me up kind of in the middle of our season, our senior year. We'd been having a really good year. Just let me know that they want to bring me in for the summer as a setter. He's like, I wanted to make sure like that I'm coming as a setter, because if I was going as libero, then I wasn't really interested because I was going to be signing a professional contract as a setter. And so for me, like, I went as a setter, and even like that year after my senior year at Hawaii, like, it was cool. Like, I was only setting, but I was mainly with kind of the developmental team the whole summer training. And so for me, that's kind of the extent of what I've done with the national team. And Gage, I think, has more of a similar story to me than Micah does. But for me, like, with the national team, I know that professionally here, I have to prove myself, I think, way more before I am given a legit chance in the national team gym. And I know that, like, at my entire life, I've had to earn everything, just like you guys have. And so for me, like, I understand that, and that's been my mindset always, and I'm not going to let people tell me how they think my career should go. And so that's kind of my story. I don't know if I answered everything there, Gage. I don't know if I can't remember the exact question.
Before we get on the mic out, do they look – I mean, this is kind of, I guess, be a dumb question, but do they take into account how you're doing, like, professionally? Like, cause you consistently see the same guys in there, right? So let's say if, like, one American's popping off. That was off the radar, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Will they definitely be like, let's say if you're doing really, really well, let's say one guy does better than the other. Team, right. But then when you get there, are you kind of like, this one guy goes off, is he kind of brought up faster than another guy, or is it, how does it kind of work with that? Or is it they have to work their way up again? Same thing.
No, yeah, if you do well.
Just give them more attention.
No, if you do well, you get a pretty fair shot at it. And then from there, it's like a new competition, kind of. But you'd be in there, like, at the top with the top guys, and you'd be in there battling.
Okay.
Yeah. If you were to, like, have an amazing season, for sure.
So.
Oh, okay. For me?
Yeah. So, all right, Micah, you're up. Go.
So I got in there. I think also something to, like, touch on is that we've always been, well, into, like, up from youth until the national team, like, we've been in that kind of weird pipeline that does exist a little bit. And so we've played USA from youth to junior. And then it's kind of, I feel like, a little bit of a natural progression. Like, you go from youth to junior to, like, the Pan American Games, or you're, like, in there. If you do well in college, if you're one of the top 10 players in college, you get into that gym and you're kind of in there with the Pan Am team or kind of in that area. And then you're just kind of, in the gym, it's just about just playing well, and I don't even know. But for me, I didn't do the Pan Am team, which I've gotten a lot of flack about. Just from the guys in the gym, which is fine, but I didn't really have the opportunity to go. I got called in after my freshman year. I think a bunch of us were in there. But I actually don't think Sparaw calls it in. I'm not, like, trying to just say that because Sparaw is, like, obviously my coach at UCLA, but he doesn't pay enough attention. So at the time, it was Seeley that I think that emailed me and was like, hey, Michael, what's your schedule? When are you coming in? Like, I think I showed up and Sparaw was like, hey. And I was like, hey. He's like, oh, nice, you're here. Like, I think Seeley, or like Joe said with Rob, they do a lot of that stuff during the college season, like watching people and seeing who they should bring in. So I just worked the towel for my freshman, sophomore, and junior year. 3 years of going in there every day. Freshman year, I would drive in there. Even in the spring, I would drive down there. First, I would wake up, work out with the UCLA team because they didn't want me to not be a part of the team.
Spring during the season?
Springtime, I was, because UCLA ends so late, a lot of the guys get there in April or May. I don't end school until June. So for about a month, I was driving down, I think.
During season?
Longer than a month. No. Our season ended. Right when our season ended, I got a day off and I was already back in there. So I think I was lifting with UCLA in the morning. I would go to class and then leave directly. This was gnarly. Leave directly to Anaheim. It would take me like an hour and a half to get there. practice with them, lift, and then go home and repeat. But on my way home, I would be so tired. I'd stop at the same gas station every day and sleep for like 4 hours. And just like pass out and then just drive back at like 10 at night. And be like, all right, here we go. You can ask my roommates, swear. I did this like, I think my sophomore year, maybe it was my sophomore year too. Cause I don't
LA traffic too.
Yeah. The LA traffic. I was like, dude, I'd rather sleep than stay 3 hours in this traffic to get back home. So I did that and I didn't practice. I probably like actually played 6-on-6 for the first time, like more than 2 days in a summer, my junior year. So I just like cleaned up for everybody.
With a smile on your face.
Oh yeah. No, you should see the tape. I get awards for the greatest towel wiper. Dustin is really good too. Dustin's a legitimate
contender
towel wiper. And so is Kyle Ensing, who we actually created a really strong bond by wiping the floors together every day. We'd bring our own towels. We'd have like 3 towels and try and clean up during the play. We took it to the next level. Why not? Oh yeah. We'd do the most ridiculous stuff. I'm sure there's some film on there. We should get it and put it up on Out of System, actually.
You have the film. We don't. We
can access it.
If I look back at the practices, we could probably find something. But yeah, I did that. And then my senior year, I just got a good shot at it. After my senior year, it was me, Josh. It was last year, I think.
Kyle.
Me, Josh, and Kavika were the 3 backups for Micah, and we all just split time. We all set the same amount of matches in VNL. I think we all set 3 matches, and they were just kind of trying to see who was going to win that battle. And oddly enough, I also hit outside. There were some shortages, and I had done pretty well at outside. And in the gym, I was hitting well. So I think Sander got hurt. Langlois was hurt, and I was on the trip, and I was on the road. So I got some playing time. Some guys weren't playing very well. But I got to go in there and hit, which I love. I do wonder if, like Joe, I should switch to hitter because I like hitting so much more. I don't know if I'm selling out, but I like hitting more, I'm pretty sure. When people ask me that, I never knew because they're both fun when you're playing well, but I'd rather be
We can find a pro team. We can get you and Gage hitting on the outside. Find a pro team.
A B league or something. If you get me on the outside, we're not in the best league.
Gage, we could fight. You could.
We just gotta get some good middles.
Micah, is there an actual real chance that you switch to the outside, like pro wise, USA Gym?
There is a real chance. I've been thinking about it. Not in a huge way, but there's definitely a chance.
That's definitely.
Is there a chance that you become a professional grass volleyball player, Gage?
Me, yeah, down the road, hopefully.
There's gotta be a chance.
I really like hitting it.
I think it just suits my personality a lot more.
And you're competitive, so you want to control it.
It's just the like when I'm hitting, I'm a different competitor than when I'm setting. It's like night and day.
Okay. All right, so
that's
now
my
that you
story.
Guys, now that you guys can kinda explain how you guys got the national team. Jim, mine's a little more unique. Mine's a little weird than that. So, I go to my freshman year, right? So, first of all, I have a question for you, or I'd have a statement to anyone listening out there. If you are in the youth program, like the pipeline, the youth, the junior teams, if you're not in one of those programs, there are so many like most of the people in the gym, or a lot of the people in the gym weren't in those programs, right? You know what I'm saying? It was what you kind of realize. Like, a lot of people are like, man, I didn't make the youth or I didn't make the junior team. It's more important how you do in college than making those teams growing up. And
yeah,
I think people got to realize
that's the step before the national team is college.
Right.
That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter if you're on those teams and
in high school.
Yeah, and you – whatever the case is, it doesn't matter unless you play well in college. I was just saying it helps a little bit. And also, like, for people that can't afford it, my dad was like, I'm not paying for this high performance thing. And I was like, that's totally fine. So you in youth, they pay for you. So that was the first time I got to try out was, I think I was 16 when I met you guys, 17. Yeah. My dad's like, now that they're paying for you, you can go try. And if you make it, then sweet, you can go. But before that, I'm not going to pay for it. So if it's a matter of like paying for these high performance tournaments or high performance like holiday camps or stuff like that, I don't think that matters at all.
No, not at all.
I think like playing on the national team is fun and you get a lot of good experiences. You meet a lot of cool people. Like, I mean, that's how I ended up playing for Pac Rim. Changed my like whole trajectory of my life, meeting you guys. But I think it's really cool. But yeah, at the end of the day, if you don't play well in college, and it doesn't matter.
A lot of those guys fade out too. Like a lot of those youth and junior and like and high performance guys fade out too.
Yeah,
so
it just
it's
depends.
Like, yeah. I mean, not merely your class though. Your class was so good where it was like both you and Joe.
Yeah,
and
our classes, like it seems like we've had the same group just moving from level to level and staying pretty consistent.
So for me, I go into my freshman year of college. I just get absolutely lit up, right? I was not starting. I got chunky a little. I was a serving sub, right? So my sophomore year, and Joe, I think you remember this. My sophomore year, they hosted in the winter, like during our winter break for Hawaii. Like, so we were going home anyway. In Anaheim, they hosted a national team tryout. Joe, do you remember that?
Yes.
That had to be the funniest. And so I hadn't been invited to the national team. Definitely shouldn't have up to that point. Like, I hadn't proven anything. I hadn't even started a college game. Dude, in this tryout, I kid you not, I was towering over these, I swear to God, 20% of these guys probably are coming from the YMCA. They saw a flyer, and they're like, I'm going to make the national team, Jim. They come straight from the Y, came straight from 24-hour fitness, and they're there. Dude, you would think we get there, and you know, you expect like it to be like, okay, like the top of the top. Like, but then we get there, and it was me, Joe, from Hawaii, me, Joe, Colton, and Dalton.
Yeah.
And then Jordan Ewer was there, and then maybe one or two other D1 guys. Other than that, I'm not kidding. Some of these guys.
You guys should have called me. Nobody called me and asked about it. Like I told other people the real.
You were already
story.
In the pipeline, though. You're already.
No, but I was like, I don't think this is really worth your time.
Yeah,
Gage,
You guys should have called.
Gage, we should have made like a documentary about like.
I don't think they're ever gonna do it again.
What's it called? Like the video you're gonna make.
I think they will.
Dude, a mockumentary, dude.
A
it
mockumentary.
Was, I'm not kidding.
Oh, yeah. A mockumentary would be so good.
Dude, some of these guys.
Event.
Dude, some of these guys are like 40 and like 4'11", maybe like liberos, and they were. You wouldn't realize. Like, I'm not saying that I was horrible. I didn't play well there. No, not even. It was.
Oh,
and so what would
that
happen
would've been
is.
Awesome.
So what happens is there's five courts, and this is how you start every day. You start at five courts, and you do serve-receive, and you get, like, four balls from guys serving from the left, four balls serving from the right. And then out of those, how many, you kind of add up your score, and then the top two move on. The top two receivers move on. The bottom two stay back. I ended up at the fifth court every single day. I'm not kidding.
And
every
fifth court
single
is
day.
The worst court?
The worst court. The worst court. And the guy would be like, you're here again? I'm like, yeah. And – these guys, I'm not kidding. I had one guy, again, like, they're so bad. Like, there was, like, 20 liberos that were, like, he's, like, they would lie so much. He'd be, like, yeah, my score's 16. I was, like, you got served, like, three balls. How did you get 16? And they were lying because they're, like, I'm making my way to the national team gym. I'm making it happen.
Watch out, Shoji.
Dude, there was this one guy. With God, there were some guys that, like, I think.
That's, like, how they're
like,
counting the election
year.
Right now.
Dude, there were some guys there. I think it was like their first year playing volleyball. I'm not even kidding. I don't mean to crap on them or anything like that, but I swear it was. I'm like, I mean, they were there. It was, but me personally, I didn't even play that well. It was to the point where like, there were some USA coaches there that were kind of like, because I wasn't playing well. I was just kind of like kind of cast away at the side, right? Because you know me in practice, I'm horrible in practice, right? And I hadn't made a name for myself at this point. So they kind of like cast me away. I had like something kind of like giggling like at me and stuff like that. I knew like I was like, okay, I'll remember this. I start season. I start kind of rolling. I start kind of balling out, right? I get a tap. I remember. I think there's an NCAA tournament. I get a tap on my shoulder. And Rob, like you said, Rob is the guy who kind of hits everyone up now, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was Rob at that point.
It was.
And
anymore.
Rob was leading the trial, right? And
And he was awesome. He was a great coach. I love him.
Yeah, Rob Singer.
And he taps me on the shoulder. And I turn and he's like, hey, we got to get you in the national team, Jim. I was like, me? And he's like, yeah. Because, like, literally just, like, 3 months
just
ago.
Just a little bit ago, yeah. I was fifth in these open trials.
No, I was, like, 20th. There was, like, 20 liberos. I told you that. Was like,
no, you're
was
on
like,
the fifth court. Sorry.
Fifth court. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah.
He would have been picked last in a YMCA gym. Your local YMCA gym.
At the Y. We could have hosted at the Y, I think, honestly. But no, so, and here's where my situation is a lot different from others. So my dad owns Pacific Rim Volleyball, right? Joe and I's dad owns Pac Rim. And so what happens is we're on, so men's volleyball gets 4.5 scholarships. So everyone gets a partial, right? Except for yours truly here, Micah, which is extremely rare. Very, very fortunate you got that. But so we all get partial scholarships. Like everyone's kind of divvied up. You get percentage of a scholarship, you get percentage, right? So that means you're paying whatever your percentage doesn't cover. So my parents are paying that, and they say, hey, we have this club volleyball to pay for your college. That means during the summers, you have to come back and work and make – and I still got paid and everything, but basically make it so, like, you're not taking advantage. You got to work for, like – if you want us to keep it open, okay, you got to work for it too. You got to work that money off. You know what I'm saying? Right? So I literally had to say – I could spend, like, 2 weeks in the national team gym, and then I literally had to say no to them. And I will admit, it sucks, but I get it, but it sucks, and it caused definitely arguments. Like, I had, like, you have to tell John Sparrow no, which is, like, super, like, it sucks, and it's, like, not great.
I think he understands your dad, though. He knows your dad pretty well, so when you're like, yeah, my dad said, like, I need to work, he's probably like, oh, okay.
So.
No arguing that there.
Yeah, I don't see him being like, oh, my God. I see him being like, okay.
Dude, yeah, I don't know. There are some people. Apparently, the coaches were not. Milan was the coach of the Pan Am team, which was supposed to go to and everything, and Milan was not happy. He called, and my dad and him, they would get in, like, yelling matches.
I was going to say, he's not backing down from.
No, he's not. And Milan's not backing down, so they're going back at it. And I'm like, and eventually, so at the end of that year, this was my sophomore into junior summer. I'd done working, and we played in that tournament in Canada. By the way, that's where I learned there was, like, Canadian-Mexicans, and they had this Canadian-Mexican accent. I've never heard that before. Off topic, sorry. They'd be like, what you want, eh? Like, I'd be like, what? I was like, what? That tournament's a whole nother.
Next show, we'll talk tournament stories. We have some good
tournament
stories.
That's also another reason why I hang in there, because I'm like, if that's going to be, like, the future of USA volleyball,
what do you mean,
that's, well, like, I'm like, that's something that I look forward to. That's what I mean. Like, that's something where I'm like, man, if that's going to be the future of USA volleyball, that's going to be a blast, because that tournament was absolutely incredible. It was so fun. Everyone's a homie. Just another benefit for me to switching outside is that, like, no matter what, now, like, Joe, Josh, and me can be at a tournament at the same time. So if we're all three of us are setters.
Josh wasn't there.
No, I know. But in general, like, they're only going to take two setters, and there's three of us that are really close. So
yeah. So
maybe I can sneak in the back door at outside and have even – just add a little bit more homies onto the team.
Play middle.
True. Joe, what were you saying now? You have a story or something?
Oh, yeah.
No. I was saying next show is just going to be straight tournament stories. But the one thing, like, really quickly, I want to hit this point because we got asked this on Instagram. I promised we would answer this. How did you end up at Pac Rim playing for us?
Oh, that's right. You told me about that question.
Your senior year. Yeah, your senior year.
So I was roommates with Joe Worsley in Argentina for, what is that, Youth World Championships?
Yeah.
Yeah, Youth World Championships. Got some good stories about that. Should we save those or should we bring that one up?
Next week, we're going to just go straight tournament stories.
Okay.
We'll tell those stories.
Oh, that's going to be a hell of an episode. Oh, my gosh, dude. Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to break that into two. Anyways, I was roommate with Joe, and Joe kept bothering me like, dude, you got to come play for us. You got to come play for us. And I'm You know how I am. I'm like,
because you weren't playing. You weren't playing for anyone because everyone graduated. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt,
right.
But
right. No, no, no. Yeah, yeah. Right. My team was older than me, so everybody had left, and I was like, yeah, I'll just do nothing for a year. I'm fine with that. I'll just cruise and go to the beach or whatever. So yeah, you know how I am. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And he just kept like, dude, you need to come play with us. And so, I don't think I agreed there. I think we just like. We played, and then I went home. We obviously were going to keep in touch. And I think it was like in the winter, your dad called my dad. I think. And I had already said no to Balboa, which is funny because we ended up playing.
Right.
And they were really right. upset.
Why'd you say no?
Because I wasn't planning on playing. I was like, no, I'm good. I don't really, I'm cool. And like money and like, I didn't want to, I don't know. I just didn't want to.
They wouldn't pay for you. They wouldn't give you a scholarship.
I don't Definitely know. Would've. I honestly don't know, but it doesn't. I don't remember. So, but yeah, I said no to them. We ended up playing them, and they're like, what were they saying, Gage?
Dude, after the game, so we beat him. So we beat him after, and his dad comes, and I'm like 16 at the time. He comes and he yells. He's like, "How does it feel to pay for your players?" I was like, "Well, it feels like we won." Shoots. see you on the medal stand, buddy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so they were upset. But, yeah, I think your dad called my dad, if I'm not mistaken. I know Joe was talking to me. I'm like, yeah, maybe. But I know, like, as a kid, literally nothing I do is up to me. So it's like I'm not going to just go say yes and be like, hey, Dad, I want to play here. It's like, no. So it was a smart move to get your dad to call my dad. And I think my dad's like, yeah, let's do it. Sounds good. And sent me up. Everything's up to him at the end
and
of the
day. And that's how
– It's really his household.
So on that Same team, we had guys. Got – We had guys from Texas,
everywhere,
Hawaii, middle of California, which is dang near a different state. Like all over.
Fresno.
We had guys, and there's more, which I'm not even thinking of. Like literally everywhere, all over the nation, right? And we got scrutinized so much. Like we're like, oh, you got all these players from all over the nation. I'm like, in basketball, like club basketball, AAU, that's so common. So like, why is it so bad? If we're trying to make the team better, we're trying to make the sport better as well, more entertaining, putting
yeah.
the best guys in the team.
Point.
Why I don't get why people get so mad at that.
There's no rule you have to be from the same county.
Right.
Like it's not a thing.
Right. You see the blue chips out here, they're all from everywhere. That's the story and our friendship began.
And that makes that experience so much cooler because we all stay in the Worsley house and like stay together and just get up to crazy stuff.
Fireworks, cops.
Yeah, which just makes it so much better.
So, Joe, we put out last episode. We put out a distress signal for anyone who wanted to get advice from us. Anything that kind of that they kind of non volleyball or volleyball. Like I said, as
the
Micah
blind
said,
leading the blind.
Take it with exactly. Take it with a grain of salt. There. I don't know if we exactly have the credentials to make the calls on this, but Joe has a list of them right now. If you want to hit us away with those, and again, if you want to be one of these people, all you got to do is DM us.
That's all you got to do.
Bro, so first of all, there some of these ones that we got are like this, like, dude,
risque.
Why the hell? They're just weird.
Hey, run it. That just adds.
But, all right, we'll start with a good one here. This is a pretty good one. I think a lot of people could benefit from this one. Santi is asking, if you have a political program where the more money you give, the higher chance you're on a higher team, such as varsity, how do you deal with that, even though you have the skills required to be on the team? So,
wow. Mike, I'm going to let you take this one.
Yeah, I can do that. Okay. So that's always the case. As you know, like, money runs the world right now, especially in America. And so that's always going to be a factor, and that's going to be everywhere, whether it's in your business or people knowing people or people paying for certain rights or even people paying for policies or anything like that. I think the best way to go about it is to work on yourself and make it just as clear as possible that's at least going on. Because if you were to be caught up on that and complain about that and like, find that as your excuse for not being on that team instead of like being like, no, if I was this good, they wouldn't have a choice. Right. So just getting in the gym, putting a lot of work in, using that as fuel, as a chip on your shoulder. And then if you're on JV and you're absolutely bouncing balls, and people are like, why the heck is this guy not on varsity? This guy does not belong here. You're going to turn some heads, and I think at the end of the day, the right thing would happen. If you're on the bubble, then you're allowing for that to be part of the decision. But if you're not on the bubble, I don't think that's going to affect you.
As head coach for Hawaii Volleyball says, they ain't cutting you because you're the best player. That's what he always says. All right.
Exactly.
So that question was more on like Micah's kind of thinking level. We're going to go to a question here that's more on Gage's kind of IQ level. UHMVB fans asking, I can't decide between Cheez-Its and Goldfish.
I literally just pounded a whole thing of Goldfish last night. Try the Parmesan flavor or the original white cheese flavor by far. Or flavor blasted pizza. I got those every day in my lunch bag for my mom. Cheez-Its are good, but once you vary away from the original Cheez-Its, right, it's not as good. Like, there's some stuff that's good, but it just doesn't hit the same. When you vary away from the traditional Goldfish, and the traditional Goldfish are phenomenal.
Yeah.
It gets getting a lot better. The flavors are a lot better. The flavor blasted a lot better. So
Goldfish. Those snacks are so dang like crazy. Addicting. Because you eat one, it's like, yeah, it's all right. You eat 20 and you're like, you can eat 100, you can eat 500. Those things they just get better and better. Addicting. The more you, yeah.
All right, we'll go two more questions here, then we'll finish up with the pick'em before we let you guys off. Let's go from Seth Parrish here. Was recently told to be more of a team player. Any tips on how to work on that, Gage?
Oh, yeah.
You're the team guy.
Sometimes what I do when I see a team, a teammate, I literally, like last year when I was playing, I'd go up and I just give him a hug. I'd be like, come here. Maybe a little kiss on the cheek, too. I'd be like, come here. And just hug him and say, hey, I love you, bro, and just share everything that you have in you and just put it on to him and show him love. No, but in all seriousness, but yes, you could do that.
Yeah,
if your teammates deal with that. I've done that many times.
I could work.
It is real. I've done it multiple times. But hey, I love you, bro. For example, in the weight room today, I go up to Spiros, my freshman, and this is the first time I was lifting with the team. I was like, Spiros, come here. I was like, no matter what happens in that weight room, right, no matter how much weight I'm throwing around, right, it's still me. It's still Gage. Don't look at me any differently after you see all this weight I lift. It's still me. And then after the weight, I'm like, hey, it's still me. It's still me. but I see a lot of people with attitude, right? I don't know if your problem is attitude or not. But just make sure, like, it's just small stuff between the plays, like petty stuff. If you're playing, you're not a team player, you're like, you're rolling your eyes or doing stuff like that, right? No matter what happens, you just definitely keep your team. It kind of has to be more specific because there's different ways you're not a team player, right? You can be attitude-wise, you're not feeling it, right? I mean, it's bigger than yourself. Just keep that in mind. The team is way bigger than yourself.
That's what's important. I think, when I've learned about people that aren't team players, you can try and control their little actions and tell them, like, oh, like, don't roll your eyes and, like, those little petty things.
Yeah.
But those are always going to come through if you don't change the root cause, which is this idea that you are bigger than the team. So it's like, you need to change your whole paradigm. Because if you believe something different, like if you do believe that the team's more important, or if you can change the way you actually look about things, you don't even need to be conscious about like, oh, maybe I gave them a bad attitude here, or maybe I wasn't a team player here. Those things, all your actions just start to like, I guess, shine light on what you actually believe. So I would skip through like the little like fixing of like small behaviors, because people can even sense when you're not a team player, whether you're like acting like you're a team player or not, you can tell. And I would just get down to the bottom of it and start to have those conversations about what you truly believe, and talk to people that think other things in you, and then try and like fix it from the ground level up, because I think that's the most efficient way to actually change those kinds of problems.
Well, some deep 100%. Shit, Micah.
100%. And we're going to go last question here. That was a really good answer. I was going to add, but I think we leave it at that. That was a perfect answer. We got Amto Cam Umto Cam. I think I may have made the wrong club team choice.
The way you read that was incredible.
Hold on.
SOS.
Hold on. No, no. Listen.
Sorry. All right.
I think I may have made the wrong club team choice, in parentheses, the lower level team. And then it finishes off with, in all exclamation, or in all capital letters, help.
I think they're all chicks.
Wait, Joe, you give your response, but what is the question actually asking?
So I think I may have made the wrong club team choice, in parentheses, the lower level team, and then in all caps, help.
So he had chosen to be
so
on
it was
the...
Probably chose. So these situations happen a lot. We've mentioned a lot. My brother and I, we have family. Our family business is club volleyball, so we deal with these situations all the time. Gage and I, now that we're older, we have parents and kids that come up to us and ask us for advice on these situations. And like Micah just said, I'm going to assume that Umto Cam here chose to go be on the court more rather than play on a higher-level team. First of all, there's a few benefits to be on a higher-level team. One is that those teams are always usually the top clubs, the college coaches. If you're looking to go to the next level, they're always on the court. But at the same time, if you're playing on a lower level team and you're playing really well, like if you're a really good player, then the college coaches usually will find you or they'll at least give a look your way. Like if you're, I think this goes to kind of what Mike had talked about earlier. If you're the best player on the court, you're going to be seen. You're going to be viewed. So if your concern is that you're not winning enough, then I think you need to have that conversation with your club and maybe like you finish out the regular season and then you go for like nationals. Hopefully that happens when Corona's gone.
Maybe they're not traveling. Sometimes the lower teams don't travel or something like that.
It really depends. Like for this, you made an agreement to this team, so I would say finish off the at least this part of the season with this team. You made the agreement. The club is depending on you to be there. But maybe like for nationals or something, like this happens all the time. Kids go and they speak to better teams and they figure out, get a release from their current club because I'm going to guess that this team's not going to go to nationals. And so go try to find a bigger, better team. But you made an agreement to this team. I've always felt this way. Once you make an agreement, you got to stick to that. And going further, then you can kind of find a different situation. I don't know if you guys have different feelings.
No, I think that's all spot on. I think also, before you go, Gage, I think also a lot of guys actually have this decision recently in the professional scene. And that's like something I can kind of relate to. And a lot of the guys actually have found that going on a lower level team, going on a lower level league has benefited them a lot more than choosing to get on a really good team and not getting the chance to play. Cause there's just something about just getting a lot of reps. There's something about being the go-to guy or something about, being on the court when you're playing games, cause games are a lot different than practice, that you just can't recreate if you're not on the court. So maybe try and reframe it too. Just realize that, wow, you do have the opportunity to get on the court and be the go-to guy, and help your team a lot if you are that guy.
Right. You can learn from every situation.
Right. And then after that, you'll be hopefully ready to get on the higher level team and actually be on the court instead of be on the higher level team and not being able to play.
Well, take it. I've been that my last year as an 18s. I've been that guy. I've been that go-to player that usually I'm in libero, right? Now I'm hitting. I'm the go-to hitter, you know what I'm saying? We're on a lower-level team. You grow so much more as a player and a person. Like, I don't mean that, like, spiritually or, like, cheesy-wise, but you actually do. Well, if you adopt the attitude of a challenge, you grow spiritually and, like, mentally, dude. No, but it's true. Like you grow... I mean, I'm trying to be serious, Joe. You just absolutely ruined my take.
Should have just left your answer at just that. Oh, dude.
And Siri, my freaking computer. Siri won't shut up. Shut up, Siri. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, accept it as a challenge. Don't be, if you take it as like, oh, why am I here? You play the victim here. You're not going to get anything done. You're not going to get any better. And it's just going to be way worse than it actually can be. So keep that in mind.
Heck yeah. I think that's awesome. We're going to leave it at that. G Swizz dropping some knowledge for us. We're going to wrap this show up here with a little bit of pick'em. Gage is absolutely kicking mine and Micah's ass. He continues to just open up that lead.
No.
Gage just, like, continues every week just to further and further separate himself from the rest of the pack. And so we're going to go rapid fire. I haven't calculated it out,
we might have more recounts coming up.
Similar to the election system this week. I need to go recount, just briefly, really quick, looking through who picked who last week. I saw that Gage again.
Ciao.
Open. Increase the lead.
Chicken.
But Gage, since you are in the lead, you're picking first for all three matches this week.
Thank God.
Check it.
I'll just follow this guy's lead.
I really broaden the horizon. I don't know if that's the right term on which leagues I chose from. So league. The first league is the Polish league. The second league is the Japanese V League.
I follow them.
That's right up my alley. I've actually been reporting for the Japanese V League for 4 years now. I've actually been an inside source for a lot of very influential people in the Japanese V League arena. So I actually think I am going to dominate this week.
I should unfollow them so I don't know anything about
them. Gage, in the first match, we got one American in this matchup. Mm-hmm. We got Yastrzemski and Radom from the we got Brendan Sander from Radom.
Rada Brendan.
Gage, who do you got winning that match in the set count?
Radom in five, of course, because it sounds like my boy Rado. Shout out to my insiders.
Okay, I'll go second here.
All right.
Since Micah's hanging on at the end of the rope there with I'm gonna say Yastrzemski.
I want to recount.
I'm gonna say Yastrzemski 3-1.
Yeah, Jaszewski, that's a good one. 3-1. Gage, this is the team with the Aussie coach. I do want you to know.
Whoa.
It's too late. No. You don't get to
I'm not changing my answer. I just want to know
which
time.
The pick is in.
The pick is in. Which one?
Jaszewski's got a Australian coach.
He's out. He got hit by a boomerang.
I will be going with Jaszewski with a 3-0.
The coach 3-0. Is out. He fought a kangaroo.
Yeah, I just need major points. I would have gone 3-1, but I need to go big or go home.
All right, and then, Gage, we're going. Actually, this match might be easier. But we got Panasonic Panthers versus
Suntory
Sunbirds.
Dude, I love the Thunderbirds or the Sunbirds?
Sunbirds.
So
two different teams, Joe.
Sunbirds.
Come on, Joe. Know your V-League. Dude,
the Sunbirds.
When you said V-League, I was like, if the Panasonic Panthers are in, I am counting them. Before I even knew which teams. Panasonic Panthers, 3-0, game facility. Over. Not even close.
Their facility is pretty crazy. Did you guys go
with
there?
FC Tokyo. We went to FC Tokyo. We didn't go there.
Oh, okay. Because I heard Panasonic, because Matt Anderson played for them.
Kubiak's there right now, yeah? Kubiak?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going Panasonic 3-1.
Anderson played for them. I'm going Panasonic.
They call him.
Trace O. I'm going with Panasonic Trace O.
Max. They call Max, my friend, Max. And they call me Gage son.
Max.
Gage son.
I got some funny stories
from Japan, man. Oh my God. We were there for way too long. I tried to throw out the first pitch at this professional baseball game. That was there. Oh, it was incredible.
How did you even get that far? How did you get to be able to do that?
Yeah.
No, we didn't get very far at all. But we had gotten we went through three security guards up into their management. I think we went to We went three security guards to two managers to one person above that. We tried to get into their VIP club. I told them that I was scheduled to throw out the first pitch and I needed to go now. I was so unreal.
His lead you out to the field.
I couldn't get. And it turns out, dude, how crazy is this? Turns out we ended up going out that night, and we end up sharing a table with the starting pitcher. this is the starting pitcher. We're like, no way. So we ended up being cool with that guy. It was pretty sweet. Dude, they love baseball.
They love baseball.
It looked like Dude, it looked like the Olympics. There's people everywhere for like the whole day.
Crazy. Yeah, the baseball, and they love baseball there. All right, we're gonna.
Sorry, that was.
We'll have plenty of those stories in future pods. We gotta wrap up here though. We're going on the long end, but I know people like here like when we go long. But we got. I did this one a little bit different, this pick. So we got Texas versus Baylor women's volleyball. It's two nights, Thursday, Friday night. You have to pick one team for both nights. So the team you pick is for both nights, and you have to pick the set total.
Okay. So I definitely mistakenly did this last week. That's on me, guys. But... again, I'm picking Texas first night, three.
No, that's it. You get Texas both nights, right?
Both nights? It's your pick for both nights, yeah.
Yeah, you have to choose them for both nights.
Texas. 3-1, 3-2.
Total count. So that's 6-3.
6-3.
Okay. For me, I'm going to go Texas 6-1.
Ooh. Dominant.
Baylor Bears. Wait, where is it? Is it who's home? That's important.
I think it's in Baylor, at Baylor.
Baylor Bears. I need some big time points. So I'm going with the Baylor Bears 5-5.
Freaking blood. How did they win with five?
I'm kidding. 5-5 would be a tie and nobody would win a game. 6-4. God, yeah. 3-2 both nights. I don't know.
All right.
6-3.
All right, 6-3. We'll let you change it because you're in last place. You need some help.
Thank God. I need some points.
Gage, take us out here.
Well, we've definitely discussed. Well, basically, we've discussed everything up to this point of our lives, about our careers.
Yeah, everything about us.
Hopefully. We have a lot more future to come in the USA program. It's professional. Well, hopefully I get the professional league. I definitely can add to those stories.
I believe in you.
Hey, thanks, guys. But we've had super, super fun time. Micah, Joe, thank you guys for joining today. Gage, thank you for joining today. This has been another...
Gage, thank you for joining us.
Just to keep in mind, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the damn kitchen. This has been another episode presented by Absence.